I love you.
I love you too.
It is August 25th in the year of our Lord 2021. This shit flying by, my dude.
It really is. I feel like 2020 never happened.
Yeah.
We just collectively decided to skip a year.
Yeah, the temporal dissociation is significant. I don't feel great about it, but here we are doing an episode. Do you want to do an intro?
You say this every time.
I know, in case you do. I mean, you don't have to, but you could.
I will pass this week. Next week. Next time we do this, I will do the intro. I will make myself a note.
A note. I believe in the power of the note. All right, this is an intro. This is a podcast, Stems and Leaves, where myself, Ezra, and an array of co-hosts link up and chat about some things that bring us comfort, that we think are cool and thrilling and interesting, that we want to share with each other and with our, I almost said fans, but then I cracked up because it's like our four friends.
Yep. Slash younger brother.
Slash our siblings. So it's more like, it doesn't matter. We're having fun here. I already said who I am. I'm Ezra. And today, Moss is at the mic.
Hello, hello.
It's fine, but this is third episode we've recorded.
That's true. Which
feels pretty good. That feels nice. But
that's
anyway.
Solid.
Our content this evening may be interrupted because the stompy neighbor vertical of us is doing a lot of
stomping
and creaking. I feel like he's wrestling something, maybe himself, I don't know. And also it is coinciding with my partner's D&D game tonight. So.
Uh-huh.
If spirits should be raised in a moment of heated battle or perilous interaction, we may hear some exclamations. But it's fine. It's fine. We're here. I love you. Are you drinking tea?
I am drinking tea. So I actually took the time to make myself a matcha latte before I sat down.
Nice.
And to prep a side cup of jasmine tea for when I am done with the matcha latte.
Excellent. Excellent. I am wrapping up a thermos of Earl Grey that I brewed sometime earlier in the day. I've got like a third left. And then in my other tea tumbler, I've got a ginger peach turmeric.
Nice.
Non-caffeinated, so hopefully I can just, like, flush out whatever the Earl Grey is doing. Because we're recording, it's not late in the day by any means. It's 7 p.m. my time, 6 p.m. your time. But you know about me. I'm a sleepy little guy.
Yeah.
And after 7 p.m., I am less not unlike my most true self, which is an important space to occupy at times. But for those reasons, I didn't do research, but I prepped things to talk about today. Did you prep things to talk about today?
I have the Book of Tea that I have read since the last time that we met. And I pulled out like a couple of lines that I thought were interesting, and then just thought I would talk about like what the book covers as a whole. And yeah, then also the botanical gardens between the time that we last met. So if we want to talk about plants.
Yeah, because you got that book at the outing you mentioned last time, which was the Midwest's biggest secondhand charity book sale.
Something along those lines.
Something like that. And you picked up this and you did a couple other things. Tell me about your self-care weekend, because I was feeling the good vibes through the phone when you were texting me little notes about it. And I was just like, yeah, that's good stuff.
It was honestly great. I set up like going to the book fair with someone that I go to work with. And after we went to the book fair, I also went back over to her house and played Betrayal at the House on the Hill with her and her husband for like 3 hours.
Yes.
And it was a solid board game night. And then the next morning I got up early and was one of the first people into the St. Louis Botanical Gardens. And I stayed for a couple of hours. I just kind of wandered around. I spent a lot of time at the Japanese garden because I absolutely adore it. And then I came home with a sunburn.
I'm sure you did, you poor pale creature. Well, you said Japanese garden. I'm hoping you saw some koi.
Oh, yeah. I will send you pictures. I don't know. Can you post pictures on Anchor?
I can post them. Oh, I guess stemsandleaves.com is available for all of our hosts posting pleasure. And I did kind of fall off because I was putting like accompanying blog posts every time an episode goes up. But I mean, like, if like you have to be here. You have to be here if you want to. So when you see those koi pics drop, you'll know. You, whoever's listening right now, will know. Who's this? Dude, I love some koi fish. I think one of my next tattoos, I really want a koi fish, but in the style of, this is where it gets difficult. There's a Pokemon in one of the more recent generations called Wishiwashi. And he's a little koi, and by himself, he's not very strong. But if a bunch of him get together, they go into, like, a formation. Like, they school and make a little, like, bigger guy to scare off the predators. But he's so small, and he looks like he's just... he looks like his eyes are welling up with tears. He's so cute. And I want him integrated in it. Or just maybe I'll get Wishiwashi the Pokemon tattooed on my body because he's cute. And life's short. Look cute, feel cute, do cute things. All right, hard tangent from where you were. Botanical garden, I love you.
Yeah, so I have some pictures from that I'll either send to you and you can put up, or you can tell me how to put them up myself. But yeah, it was a solid weekend.
I love that. So talk to me about this book you found, because you sent me a picture, and it looks like an enchanted little spell book or something that you would have tucked in an apron pocket ready to, like, read out of. It's very charming looking.
Yes, it is very charming looking. I also want to say it was originally published in 1906, I think was the first English edition. And this one is a copy of its third printing, which was done in 1958. So this is an old boy.
That's an old book. I was about to say a couple things. That's an old book.
It's an old book.
Is that, that's well older than our parents.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Woof. Go on.
Yeah. But it's called The Book of Tea, by Okakura Kakuzo, I believe is how you pronounce his name, but it's been translated to English, and so he's just kind of, like, I'm sure this is not the proper way to say this, but he kind of goes on, like, a rant about tea, and he has, like, 5 or 6 different sections in the book where he just kind of, like, has thoughts. And so the first one is, it kind of goes over like the schools of tea. Mm-hmm. And so there are 3 of them, and the oldest is cake tea, which was made, it was like the leaves were like boiled, or they were steamed, and then they were like ground into a paste and made into cakes that were boiled with other things. And then there's the powdered tea, which was whipped, which is matcha, essentially. And then there's the leaf tea, which is steeped, which is what we do the most now. And some of the things they put in the cake teas were a little bit questionable to my taste. I much prefer my tea steeped or whipped. And then he goes on to talk about like tea as teaism. So kind of like the culture of tea and how it's influenced by Taoism and Zenism. And additionally, like the influence that like these ideologies as well as like teaism as a whole have had on like the collections of art and the way that people view like flowers in the environment. And then he ends it with like a section on what the tea masters have done for culture as a whole. It's pretty fun.
I like that. I told you to go get scholarly readings on tea and she delivered.
I tried very hard.
I love that because I have a couple books on tea, but they're really based on like the fundamentals, the science, and like what the chemicals of like how processing teas differently given the different like flavor palettes. But the philosophy element of tea isn't something that I guess I've like studied as much, so I'm really psyched that you tapped into it and that our man can just like rant and then also be like, the tea drinkers have made the world a better place.
Honestly, like, that's where he and just like, I have a few lines that I really liked. Like, one of the first lines in the book, the first line in the book is like, tea began as a medicine and grew into a beverage. We all know this. Mm-hmm. We understand this. And then he goes on to say that the 15th century saw Japan ennoble it into a religion and aestheticism, teaism. And teaism is a cult founded on the adoration of the beautiful among the sordid facts of everyday existence. I was just like, we're getting deep.
That is very good. Ooh. Man, I'm jealous you picked up this book. I want it. that's so good. You'll have to send me a couple more selections and quotes. I'm really interested in like that first bit about cake tea. That preparation always makes me laugh because it's very like uncommon in I think like Western tea culture.
If you
go into Asian supermarkets here, you can still find bricks of pu'er tea occasionally, but even then I have not seen those around as often. But like it was done that way for preservation and for shipping purposes, so like the stuff that was dumped in the Boston Tea Party like in the harbor when we were doing all of that special revolutionary stuff, that wasn't like loose sachets of Lipton. That was like bricks of dense, packed, like caked tea product.
And he actually references the Boston Tea Party in this book.
Got you. Tea facts.
Yep. And then something that I thought was interesting, like, kind of. It makes sense, you know, it like tracks, but like in China, like the emperors used to bestow this rare preparation of tea, the cake tea, on like their high ministers as a reward for their service. And so like this cake tea, which was, let me read you the line, leaves that were steamed and crushed in a mortar, made into a cake, and boiled with rice, ginger, salt, orange peel, spices, milk, and sometimes onions, was like the goal. Everyone wanted tea from the emperor.
I mean, obviously I want the emperor's tea. Also, all of the ingredients you described, that sounds like a gut punch of medicine. Like,
right?
That'll do ya.
That'll do ya.
Oh, that's delightful. What? So, like, they built. It's the same way that gold has value. Like, it's super not. Yeah. I bet some economists. There's not going to be an economist listening to this. But in my mind, the way we all agreed that gold is valuable, we did that with tea. and for good reason, and also because tea is an exquisite ecological expression of, like, beauty, which I'm sure my man has much better words in that book for.
Yeah, but then something else that I thought was interesting was, like, and I believe this is what he says in here, again, I read it over, like, the past week and a half, so I might be slightly misremembering something, but...
You're dead now, it's okay.
but, like, it seems that, like, tea didn't quite make its way to Japan until it was in the powdered form in China. Like, that was the first way that, like, Japan came into contact with tea. And so that became, like, a really big part of, like, their culture. And that's why, like, matcha and, like, there's still, like, tea regions within the country where, like, they grow tea. That is, like, what they do. And it's why, like, they have the, like, highest quality of tea. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy.
God. That tea plantations are gorgeous.
They are.
I've been to one. Yeah, I've told you about the Cameron Highlands in Malaysia when I was in between 5th and 6th grade, I think. Maybe between 6th and 7th, when my dad took my sister and I. We stayed at a resort in the Highlands. And so there's tea plantations and strawberry plantations in the Highlands. So we stayed at, like, a strawberry plantation, like, resort thing, which was, like, super cute. And we got to, like, oh, I hear that little cat making cat noise. Yep. But we stayed and we got to, like, pick strawberries, and the Highlands are just beautiful. But we got to go to the Bo Tea Plantation, which is, like, it's Malaysia's favorite brand of tea. It's our national tea, Bo. We got to go there and go to, like, the tasting room. And just the fields, like, you get to walk through some gardens that are, like, made more extra pretty, you know, for, like, tourists, like, yeah, to demonstrate. Obviously, they're not sending you out into a working field. But, you know, getting to learn about the history of all of it. And, I mean, it's crazy, man. It's just miles and miles of these shrubs. And it's, like,
yeah,
I can't. Man, we just rip some leaves off a bush and we put it in water, and that's a potion, baby.
And it's a good potion. It's really good for us.
And it's a good potion that is medicine. Man, more tea. Everyone should just drink more tea. It's good for us. It elevates humanity, essentially.
I think Okakura would agree with you.
Do you think we can... You think there's, like, a 2020 edition that we can find a link to?
Quite possibly, yeah.
I feel like that guy's probably the philosophical foundation. I feel like if any actual, like, tea historians... Hey, yeah, we're learning. That's what we're doing here. Stems and Leaves is about being curious. We don't know everything. Lord have mercy on all of us. We don't know shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we will do our best. I'll do my best to find a link or two to literature resembling that.
Yeah, or maybe like a PDF version or something like that.
Yeah, that's in the public domain. 1900-something, yeah, that's in the public domain for sure. Thank you for bringing your tea book.
You're that welcome. Is
very good. I have brought some as my first. I prepared a couple things just in case. I prepared music recommendation today.
Nice.
There were two artists that I really wanted to recommend, because I also wanted to play with a feature with, listen, we used to host this podcast on Buzzsprout, which was great for what the show used to be, and then I couldn't afford hosting there anymore, and also Anchor FM is free, with the subscription I already had. So Anchor also has some additional new tools that allow us to put 30-second clips of songs that are otherwise copyrighted and stuff into our episodes. So now if we like mention a song that we're like, ooh, look, clip in. So I'm gonna attempt that. So the first song that I want to talk about, the first artist I want to talk about is Hobo Johnson and the Lovemakers.
Okay.
Hobo Johnson and the Lovemakers, they've been on the scene since like 2015. Hobo Johnson himself is actually Frank Lopes. He's 26 or 27 years old. He's very young. He's our age. The song in particular that I want to share is Mover Awayer, which I guess I'll drop and I'll insert a clip here.
Yeah.
I grabbed you tight and then held you to your car. That shitty parking lot, you know? I really missed you, and I hope that you missed me, too. I really hope that you missed me, too. You made my Mondays feel like Fridays. You made that Ruby Tuesdays taste like any hummus. And all I ever wanted was for us to get along. For us to get along, and there's a million.
This is the other side of the clip. Mover Away is just such a fun, upbeat song that follows Hobo Johnson's whole aesthetic, which is this like spoken word rap sort of indie, not quite pop, but it's, are you familiar with Watsky at all? You don't know any musicians. I shouldn't say anything. I love you so much. I love that funky backyard kind of beat, and Mover Away, or just the chorus line is, you make my Mondays feel like Fridays. You made the Ruby Tuesdays taste like Benihana's. And that just, like, that sums it up. It's just, like, very...
I like that.
It's very, like, unruly emotions kind of music, which I really vibe with. And I did a little research because I wanted to have extra content to share, and I wanted to seem more knowledgeable. But Hobo Johnson and the Lovemakers, like I said, 2015, like, so pretty recent, and they got their big start from NPR's Tiny Desk concert series. Which, if you don't tune in to NPR Tiny Desk concerts, you really, really should, because I've discovered like 70% of the music I listen to from that program. But in, I think, like 2017, they performed one of their songs, Peach Scone, and so they got like a real like quick kind of cult following from that. So yeah, like a newer group on the scene, super cool, just like fun backyard summer angst music.
Nice.
So that's my recommendation number one. And then recommendation number two, I think you have probably heard at least one of her songs. It's Rayami.
Yes.
Okay, great. So Rayami is a 26-year-old Korean-born, American-raised artist. She goes by the name Rayami for the two characters from Sailor Moon, Sailor Mars and Mercury. So, like, a beautiful nod to nerdiness. But Rayami is also super new on the scene. I think she got signed with Billie Eilish and Phineas, like, okay, in 2019. But she was just, like, minding her business, like, working, like, a regular job, making... I don't know how to describe her music. It's like, I'm an emotions bitch, you know? You know, it's like, it's bad bitch music. Like, some, like, it goes hard. The song that I want to share first is Make It Mine, which was, like, a breakup-inspired song. I read one of her interviews about it. She had gotten out of, like, a really toxic relationship and sort of, like, wrote this, I guess, like, in a day, kind of reflecting on it. So I'm going to insert that clip here. Now we're back on the other side of the clip, and we have a cat on the other side of the clip. Yin likes Rayami. She heard us mention, and she was like, we stan. Oh, put that butthole away. Oh my god. But anyway, he's a super cool artist. A couple other songs that she's released are That's On You, Snow Cone, Dictator. Those are the four that are mostly on my playlist. Can you think of any others? Probably
no,
not.
I cannot.
And I think she actually might have released like her first EP or her first like proper mixtape this year, like maybe in the past 3 months. She's kind of new in my rotation of music, and she's super new on the scene, so really curious to see like what else she does with her music. But if you want some bad bitch jams that also get at that little part of your heart that's like, ooh, because it's like we all bad, but sometimes we a little sad, and this is where that music kind of I don't know, it is a big, like, emotional release, kind of, her music. So, those are my two music recommendations.
Nice.
Do you have more content to share?
No, that was about all I had.
Great. Sweet. Okay. Well, then, I'll share the other content I had, because I think I've recommended this book to you.
Yes, I love that book. I've read that book. You gave me that book. It's amazing.
Excellent. Okay. I couldn't remember. I've recommended this book to almost everyone I can think of. The book is The Power by Naomi Alderman. I may or may not have mentioned it previously on the podcast. I'm going to talk about it right now. It is a gripping novel that kind of puts, I don't want to say dystopia, because this is not a dystopia novel. Let me back up a little bit. So Margaret Atwood, who is probably the most well-known of, like, speculative fiction that kind of is on that line of, like, ooh, is that, like, like, ooh, it's a little too real, you know?
Yeah.
If you read Handmaid's Tale, that's Margaret Atwood. So Margaret Atwood is, like, has pretty much taken Naomi Alderman under her wing, and, like, has said all kinds of great stuff about Naomi Alderman's work. And I believe Margaret Atwood. I believe Margaret Atwood has good taste. and this book I've read several times over. It's fantastic. So, like, the basic premise of it is hard to describe. Basically, it's now-ish. It's set now-ish, and it covers, it's a story where, like, four different characters, their stories are kind of told separately, and then, like, all intertwine, like, by, you know, the end of the book. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like a story of the world changing when women, specifically young girls, start to develop this power. They develop, like, a new organ of electricity that allows them to, like, control electricity. And because of that, they are perceived as a danger by, you know, male-dominant society. And so the characters it follows are three women and one man. It's a head-spinning read. What did you think about it? When did you read this?
I read it at the beginning of the summer, and I really liked like the formatting of the book because it's fairly unique. I think it starts off with like an exchange of letters between like, I believe, two like fictional historians who are basically taking this timeline that Ezra has described, and like, this is history now. And so this is like a fictional retelling of what history might have looked like from the future where they are from, where like this female dominated like society is like the norm. And it's really interesting because you get that kind of at the beginning, but like, it doesn't really make perfect sense until you get to the end and you've read this story and you read another exchange of letters. And it just suddenly clicks, and you're like, oh my god, this is so much.
Yeah,
and it's just overwhelmed by everything that, like, the book is telling you and, like, the conclusions that you've drawn throughout the whole thing, and it's amazing.
Yeah, it's very... Sometimes I've seen books try and go for that, like, meta element and fail. But this one did it in a way that is like very haunting and eerie because it's like disorienting up front because you get that, like, I guess like you call it your initial like author's note.
Yeah.
That letter between historians that, man, and then oof, it's all so good. But the book explores, you know, these ideas about power and authority and gender. And does it in a way that I found really novel, because I feel like a lot of the media that I encounter that, you know, wants to posit like the gender binary is often just like, let's invert men and women's powers. Which is, to me, just a little less creative than what Naomi Alderman does, which is like, I don't know, writing like a biological element into this like historical speculative fiction. Man, yeah. So many. I hope we're explaining this as well as this book deserves. But it explores some really powerful ideas and topics, but in a very fast narrative pace that has really well-developed, well-defined characters.
Yes.
Like the pieces start to come together. And it is one of those books where in the last like 80 pages, it just presses the gas.
Oh yeah. It's like the last couple of chapters are just like a free fall off a cliff. It's intense.
Right, because time in the book, you don't quite have chapters. It starts the book, I think it starts the day at like, yeah, 10 years to go from like the event, which we won't say. I think you can infer what it might be. But it, you know, goes through those 10 years of events, and then the last 80 pages is like a week. It just steps on the gas so hard. And I'll go ahead and add, like a content warning. Cause I did go ahead and thumb through it today just to remember. Cause there are some like triggering, pieces of content, especially later in the book. There is some really, explicit descriptions of violence, of sexual violence, rape and abuse, against women, against men, against children. It's describing war. It's describing a lot of the horrors that you were not unfamiliar with. But the way they're presented in this book, I mean, it shook me for a couple days after I read it the first time. I was anxious after I read a couple of those. Like, when I... Oof! You know which scenes I'm talking about. Yeah. It's rough. But it's an incredible book, and I don't know what else I can say about it without getting, like, too into the weeds. Man, we should start a book club. But then we have to, like,
then we have to actually read the books. Right? That's the hard part.
Yeah, it's difficult. I don't think I have anything else to say about the book. I don't want to spoil too much because I feel like it's just fantastic. And the more times I read it, the more I appreciate Naomi Alderman's, like, craft over a storyline, over something that jumps through time and space. And also her world building, because, like, the letters between historians are part of, like, other artifacts of this, like, alternative history, that it's, like, I don't know. Ooh, it'll just leave you chilled to your bones. Have you got any other takes?
Nope.
Excellent.
I think chilled to your bones was the right way to end it.
I will get a link for a good indie bookstore, so that you guys can pick up a copy and read it and tell us what you think. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I feel like everything either happened, like, just before Labor Day, or, like, Labor Day meant, like, oh, all these new things start. Because let me tell you, I did a little research. Labor Day, which is an American holiday, it's the first Monday of September. It's in solidarity for our work and labor unions. There's actually, like, a lot of history behind the holiday, but yeah. I didn't bring any facts for that because that's not what I'm talking about here. But I was thinking about it because Labor Day usually marks, like, school starting back up, and
yes.
At Ohio State started again. Yeah, not yesterday, Tuesday. That was yesterday.
That was yesterday.
It's whatever time it is relative to when I post this episode. But, like, classes are back in session and sports are going to be a thing again.
I know.
Because here's something I learned today. The NFL kickoff is the Thursday after Labor Day.
Oh.
I hope that's right. I literally looked at that, like, 3 hours ago, so I'm hoping I'm remembering my fact, but...
That makes sense. I mean, I saw, like, football-themed tortilla chips in the grocery store this past weekend, so...
What's about to happen again? NASCAR is doing whatever NASCAR is up to around now, and then the U.S. Tennis Open... Labor Day is, like, the halfway point, because I guess it's, like, a 2-week-long event. So those are three sports facts I learned. And then I started rambling, because this is where I started thinking about, gonna be fall. What sort of crispy fall activities are you looking forward to?
Ooh, I am, honestly, the thing that I am most looking forward to is the drop in temperature.
Yep.
It is way too hot, and I need it to be cold for a lot longer.
Yeah.
And a lot sooner. But I am really excited to see, like, the campus that I work on in the fall. I've only ever seen it in the summer. So it'll be cool to see it with all of the leaves changing, and then eventually with snow. Mm-hmm. I've already scoped out these two ginkgo trees that I park nearby that I'm super excited to see turn yellow.
Oh my goodness. That's going to be so pretty. Are they fruiting ones? Are they going to drop those stinky little boys for you?
I kind of doubt it just because how we've done trees to...
Yeah.
The thing that we've done with trees, with the pollen and the fruiting trees being messy, so we use, like, male trees more often. Because
the fruits that fall from those bad boys are some of the stinkiest, like, there's that alley on OSU's campus where they used to have, like, seven of them. Ooh, it was a stinky time in that alley.
I was so upset when they changed the trees because the ginkgos looked gorgeous, just like a row of yellow.
Yeah.
Oh, it was beautiful. But I get that they were stinky. I get it.
We can't love every tree.
We do, but
sometimes we don't have to love everything that every tree does. There's also a Bradford pear, and honestly, there's
those are much. Terrible trees.
That's what I'm saying, all right?
Okay, yeah, we don't love all trees. At least not all of them equally.
Yeah, there are some trees which we will lightly discriminate against. Do we advocate making the trees not be there? Absolutely not. Plant a tree. If you're listening, plant a tree.
Plant a tree. Plant two trees.
Plant two trees. Plant native wildflowers. Tear up your lawn and put in native grasses and sedges and lichens. We're not going down that crunchy route. Okay. What other... Man, I can't wait to see the leaves turn this year.
Mm.
I wonder if later in our lifetime we're not going to see that anymore with climate change and such.
Oh, I really hope that we still get to...
I mean, it will... Like, the leaves will have to go from green to not green. But yeah. Will we have that beautiful scenery down in those... Oh, man...
Yeah.
Hate to think about it, but guess what? We are going to have to live with the consequences of the climate crisis.
Yeah, that's not something to look forward to.
It's hard to say, but we do have to ground this podcast in reality sometimes.
Yeah.
So, plant a tree, drink some tea, do your part for the environment, and other crunchy fall activities. I want to carve a pumpkin so bad.
Oh my gosh, yes. And then make pumpkin seeds afterward.
Yes. Oh, apple cider. Listen, bud.
Ooh, apple cider.
My favorite is going to a fall party, picnic, what have you, and someone's got the crock pot full of the cider, and they've got like the clove and the cinnamon sticks floating in it, and you feel like that's a real witch's brew. I mean, it's the season of the witch coming in. Full form. It's coming, y'all.
That's probably a good idea, but...
Oh, wait, I forgot. There was another thing I wanted to tell the people.
Oh, let's go.
Because I think it'd be fun if we could talk to our friends just a little extra. So Anchor has this other feature that we have access to, which our listeners, our friends, can leave us a message, an audio message, which we can play on the show. Or we can play for ourselves and just respond to it. But if your brother or my sister or any of our friends want to just like leave a message and say hi, or like, I don't know, it would be fun. We have this feature. So
yeah.
you can go to anchor.fm/stemsandleaves /message. And there's just a little spot where you can record a little note. You could sing us a song, recite us a poem, make a music recommendation, pretty much anything that you could say with your mouth, you could put in this message and we'll receive it and screen it for content. And if it's worthy, just a hello, but I'll put a link in the episode description as well. All right, you didn't do an intro, so I doubt you're going to do an outro.
Yep. Yeah.
See, I'm starting to get wigged, because this will be, like, the third time that I'll wrap up. Because I've said look cute, feel cute, do cute things, like, at least four times already. So I feel like I've...
You can never overuse it. I was literally walking out the morning I was going to the Botanical Gardens, and I was like, I look cute. I am cute. I'm about to go do cute things.
Is this an outro? Yeah. Okay. We'll make it work. This is a podcast where myself, Ezra, and my friends Moss and Lila, and maybe a couple others if they text me back, we talk about things that comfort us and bring us joy, things we're curious about. Sometimes we just have a mic and you have ears, and that's what it is. I'm getting tired. It's almost my bedtime. It's fine. Wait, okay. This is Stems and Leaves. It's a podcast. Look cute, feel cute, do cute things. From us to you. Later. What I mean is that you